Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy. Recording is 2:55 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 18th. I thought we'd kick off with Nvidia. The share is clearly accelerating higher and approaching the peak from early, well, really, I guess, late 2021. So this is not a cheap share by any stretch of the imagination. Even when we look at the PE ratio, it's still got a PE of 70, and the dividend yield is risible, but I think when we think about it's the price to sales ratio that really grabs my attention, 29.2. This is really quite extraordinary. So I think it's most particularly interesting when we just graph that price to sales ratio, because it's really quite high. Now, just think back to the fact that in 2013 it was a lot closer to 2. So, a lot of the growth for Nvidia has been around the enthusiasm around Bitcoin. What I find most particularly interesting is that there's been a lot of questioning about whether gold and Bitcoin compete with one another. But what we've actually seen over the last few months is that it is artificial intelligence is outcompeting Bitcoin right now. Nvidia just happens to be leveraged to both of them. They both require enormous computing power. But the valuation on Nvidia is basically pricing in the entire bull market for artificial intelligence right now. And we're still at the point where we don't really have clear applications. There's a lot of interest. Certainly my eldest daughter is having a great time messing around on ChatGPT and trying to get it to break its own programming. And she and her friends are really just playing with it and having a good time. But we haven't really seen a lot of real applications just yet. It doesn't mean they're not going to happen. And certainly the jump higher between the capabilities of ChatGPT 4 over 3 are really quite remarkable. And extrapolating that exponential growth rate forward, then it is reasonable to anticipate that there will be profound changes in the economy. But a price to sales ratio of almost 30 is really quite incredible. And I think it's worth considering that it was at 30, it came back to 10, and now it has completely reversed that decline. We are definitely also starting to see that some of the wallflowers within the AI sector are beginning to attract attention. So C3 has popped on the upside in here. And then you have companies like CS Disco, where the company IPO'd in 2021 and had a brief flurry of activity, got up to 70, and is down more than 90% from that peak right now. They came through with a more enthusiastic earnings forecast over the last 24 hours. So the share has rebounded. And it is an artificial intelligence-led law firm that they provide software to lawyers that allows them to cut down the time they spend researching cases and provides them with a case book that then can be used for litigation or for argumentative purposes. And that's, I think, something that they've had difficulty growing during the time of higher interest rates, but things do seem to be turning around. Then you have companies like Dynatrace, and they also use artificial intelligence. What they do is they basically have software that monitors the integrity of networks, particularly cloud-based networks, reads the code, identifies where errors occur, and corrects them. So that's really a very useful piece of technology. They IPO'd in 2019, did quite well in 2021, gave up most of the advance, but earnings are starting to come through and the share is now at a new recovery high. So, one thing that I think is most especially relevant is that these companies have been around for quite some time already, that they've been listed securities for 3 or 4 years. But of course, before you list, you have to actually have a business before you can list it. So this application of artificial intelligence to various very niche sectors has something that's been underway for a while. So what we are really thinking about now, or the market is pricing in, is that there is going to be this enormous jump higher in the capability of artificial intelligence. And I would hazard that a lot of that is already in the price. So I don't think that this is the time to jump in and start chasing a share like Nvidia, unless one is a very risk tolerant trader with a lot of money control discipline and willing to use stops. But then we can think about the wider Fangman companies are also continuing to do well here, and Netflix was up 10% today, and that is a clear bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. And Meta has a very similar trajectory to its share price. It might even be going up even more steeply. But the one thing that both companies have is large repositories of data. And it is those companies that have access to large pools of data on which to train artificial intelligence are those that will get some of the biggest rewards from the sector over time. So Google also is now rallying here in a vertical manner, having broken its medium-term downtrend. And I think then let's just pay attention to the fact that the estimated PE for Google is 23, and the price to sales ratio is 5, not 30. So a much more reasonably valued proposition relative to something like Nvidia. Now, when we just zoom out and look at what's going on in terms of the S&P 500, it was at a new recovery high in here today. So coming back to test the peak from earlier on this year, but certainly bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, what I find most particularly interesting right now is that bond yields are moving higher. The 10-year yield was up nearly 9 basis points today. So that's really quite clear confirmation of support for yields coming through in the region of this 3.5% level. And then when we look at the yield curve spread, well, we've had movement all the way across the yield curve, but the long end now is moving higher faster than the short end. So there's still a lot of questioning about whether we are actually at the top of the interest rate cycle or whether there will be one more interest rate hike in June. But then are we going to, I think the is reasonable to conclude that even if we are going to see one more hike in June, it's unlikely that the pace of hiking is going to persist indefinitely. So then the dollar was also firmer in here today, up 64 ticks, now pushing up here to unwind the short-term oversold condition and testing the region of the 200-day moving average. So what we're definitely seeing here is some pricing in of the potential that it is Wall Street will be leading on the upside because of this artificial intelligence boom, that interest rates are continuing to rise in the USA, so that should help to support the dollar. But then we have the other side of this equation. So Walmart, for example, was down today and encountering resistance at the upper side of its range. And Target was pulling back again. And right now, at the lower side of this range, that's been, or I think what would be more correct to say, distribution, following that big decline in the middle of 2022. And then I've been saying for at least the last month that Costco looks like a developing type 3 top formation. So the consumer that generated a lot of profits for companies in January has been pulling back in the latter half of the quarter, and interest rate hikes are starting to bite. Now, when we think about what that means, that the stock market is incredibly enthused around artificial intelligence and is both equally enthusiastic and scared in equal measure. But the reality is that until the full negative consequences of artificial intelligence become readily apparent, investors are more than likely going to give it the benefit of the doubt. It's really only when the economy really slows down, unemployment starts to rise, and people start worrying about a recession that we'll see some of the rather egregiously high valuations coming under pressure. Now, because the dollar is firmer in here and interest rate pressure is still high, then gold prices have broken down and we're down $24 in here today. So now breaking down from this short-term range, quite likely to unwind the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. So that could represent an additional $70 on the downside. But then I do suspect that the continued demand for dollars isn't going to last indefinitely. Now, it does look increasingly likely that the politicians in the USA are going to come to an agreement and that there will be a deal put to the floor of the House next week. So that removes a potential source of uncertainty, but it's also why bond yields are pushing higher, because the first thing the US government is going to do as soon as the debt ceiling is raised is issue about $1 trillion worth of debt to cover their liabilities and fund the treasury account. And that money will have to come from somewhere. So then the banking sector was in barely positive territory in here today. Now, that was a good sized upward dynamic yesterday, and it's very oversold. So there's certainly the potential for some more steadier action. But the Treasury issuing more debt siphons money out of the system. It's another example of tightening credit conditions. Now, I think this is also a very interesting graphic. And when I think we look at this and just really appreciate the fact that US markets are very overvalued on an historic basis. And we have the interquartile range. So this is the 25th to the 75th percentiles. We're way out. Whereas when you look at the UK, the range is actually in the bottom 25 percentile. Or excuse me, this is then in the bottom 10th percentile. So these are, I think, rather interesting developments here. And emerging markets are reasonably fairly valued, so is developed Europe. Now, when we think about what's going on in the UK, well, BT today said that they're going to fire 55,000 people. And that's a lot, and it's going to take a toll on a certain part of the economy. The share gapped lower and then rallied off the low, so confirming support in the region of the 200-day moving average. And this is quite likely to be a low of near-term significance. They're going to be firing a lot of people. That's going to be expensive. One, I think, would be justified in asking why hadn't they outsourced this construction in the first place. But the advent of a fiber network for the UK could be productivity enhancing. Then Vodafone has said that they're going to fire 12,000 people, and that's probably not enough. So the share broke on the downside and is barely steady. Now, there is a dividend, of course, and the dividend yield is around 8.69%. So that's likely to help to support the share, but isn't a growth strategy. But it's a good example of where low valuations are available, and the FTSE 100 is, in dollar terms, right in the region of its peak over the last several years. In local currency terms, it's still in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 5 years. Now, when we think about what the potential is, well, lower valuations on aggregate should favor the resilience of a blue chip index like the FTSE 100. Now, let's just then look at something like the FTSE 250, where it's much more locally oriented, and you still have a PE of around 13. So we're not single digits, and the yield of around 3.66% is reasonable but not world beating, and the index is hovering here in the region of the 200-day moving average, but at least it has a higher reaction low now, and the succession of lower rally highs has been broken. So it's been touch and go for the FTSE 250 for the last 6 months, but it is looking a bit better right now. And the more reasonable valuations, I think, are going to start to become attractive into an environment where we have uncertainty. And we have a very similar situation for Brazil, where the PE is 6 and the dividend yield is 6.7. Now, as an emerging market, there's obviously more risk attached, but at the broad positioning here is more positive, and the Bovespa continues to advance. And then when we look at that on a local currency term basis, or a constant currency basis, the index is bouncing from the lower side of this range that's been forming for several years already. I do think that the relative valuations we see in emerging markets are going to become progressively more attractive as the excessive valuation that we have on Wall Street comes back to the fore eventually. This is also a good example of how the markets can be irrational longer than you can be liquid. And the trend is still higher. Nvidia, for example, is still accelerating. It's not until we see the first clear downward dynamic that we're likely to see greater appetite for shorts or for alternatives. But the continued trend higher in government bond yields is certainly something that's going to weigh on the broader stock market in due course. Then, whatever happens on a global basis is going to also be heavily influenced by what happens in China. And the CSI 300 was in negative territory today. It is still below the 200-day moving average and distributing. The local currency, or excuse me, the local property markets in China remain under pressure, and the central government doesn't seem to be particularly enthused about supporting the market. So we're still seeing a distribution underway right now. There's going to have to be a clear sense of urgency to supply greater liquidity in order to really revitalize enthusiasm. Now, the banking sector was in positive territory today, but not in an especially dynamic manner of about 1%. Then, where we do have evidence of liquidity being made available is in Japan, and the Nikkei was up another 480 points today. So now, clearing the 30,000 level for the first time in about 18 months, and potentially now completing this lengthy medium-term range. And there have been several of those over the course of the last decade, and each one has resulted in a rally of about 5,000 points. So the next potential area of resistance is going to be somewhere around 35,000. And that's not all that far away from the peak from back in 1989. This continues to look like a very clear trend of outperformance. Now, I think there is certainly more demand for hedged exposure to the Nikkei, but even in US dollar terms, the Nikkei has now pushed back up through the 1,000-day moving average. So there's certainly interest in markets where liquidity is being made available. And I saw an estimate today that if Google were to introduce artificial intelligence to its search engine for every search, it would cost in the order of about $30 to $100 billion to build out the computing power to get that done. So that does represent a lot of money coming in off the sideline to support that kind of build out. Now, of course, that is the primary reason why Nvidia continues to rally. It's also why other shares are playing catch up. But and in AMD, for example, has now broken clearly up to new recovery highs. So I think there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm here. There's a clear trend of outperformance, and until we see clear downward dynamics, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for this artificial intelligence trend. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I'll wish all the best to all of you.